Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
Interesting when we saw that video before. A little bit cheesy, I'm not going to lie. But when I watched that, it reminded me that many times the way that we can see our dad as a child is as a superhero. And I know that's definitely been the case for my family, the way that my kids, when they were younger, in how they saw Phil. For example, when they were younger, both of us were working, and I'd come home from work, or I'd be on the train on my way home, and I had these expectations that, well, I was excited, super excited that I was going to be getting home to see them. And in my mind, I had this expectation that they were going to stop what they did as soon as they heard that I was at the door, and that they would run down the hallway in slow motion with arms wide open, ready to embrace me with a hug and a kiss, and just be anxious to hang out with me. And I have to guarantee you that in pretty much most instances, I got zilch, nada, nothing. It broke my heart. However, when Phil went to work and came home and opened the door and announced that he was home, pretty much every single time, the girls would drop what they were doing, would run down the hallway, daddy, 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 and give him a big kiss and a big hug and just be so rapt that he was home. I did get some counselling to deal with this, so we're all okay with it now. It's fine, don't worry. But even with their granddad, their papa, you know, he was a superhero in their eyes as well. Often when something was broken or needed repair, Not that Phil couldn't fix anything in our house. He's a very capable guy, okay? He's super, super capable. But I have to be honest with you, every single time something needed in repair in our home, the very first thing that the girls would say would be, "That's okay, Papa will fix it." And that's, they saw my dad as a superhero. And I know that some of you this morning can relate to this kind of dad. For example, let's just, across this stage, pretend that there's an invisible line. And down this line here, you could say to me, without a shadow of a doubt, that your experience with your dad was like that kind of superhero, what we saw on the screen before, that you have a loving, affirming relationship with your dad. And in your eyes, he's a superhero. So let's, for example, today, call this dad Super Dad. Is that good? Okay, so Super Dad lives here. Now, if you've had that kind of dad in your life, that is something to be treasured, and that's complete gold. But unfortunately, if the truth be known, not many of us in this room have probably had that type of experience with our dad. He may not be a superhero, Super Dad, in your eyes. For some of us, you might say to me this morning, "Do you know what, Nat? I've had a good dad. We've had our highs, we've had our lows, we've had our challenges. But if I was to describe my dad to you today, I'd probably say he was an okay super dad." So we're going to put okay super dad here. Is that good? Excellent. But for some of you, you can't say that you've had a super dad. Your expression about who your dad is to you would probably be somewhere around here. And you would say to me, "Do you know what? I don't really have a positive relationship with my dad." He may, for whatever reason, been absent for your life, so you don't even know him, you don't even know who he is. Or he may have been in your life, but he's absent in many other ways. And so for you this morning, you'd probably say, "You know, for me, Nat, I would probably describe my dad as a not-so-super dad." And anywhere along the line here, we would have a whole different bunch of different types of dads. And I just want to say from the onset, this morning is not about any dad in this room sitting here this morning trying to work out where they sit in the line of being a dad, okay? I don't want you to do a self-assessment, and I don't want you to beat yourself up about what you could have been, what you should have been, what you could have done, what you would have done, because at the end of the day, no matter what kind of dad you are, not what kind of mum you are, no matter what kind of person you are, we all make mistakes. We all get it wrong, because guess what? I'm going to tell you something that's really surprising here this morning. We're not perfect, and we all make mistakes, even when we try so hard not to. And the reason we make mistakes is because we're not superheroes and we don't have superpowers. And that becomes very evident when the eyes of a child who sees their dad as a hero turn into the eyes of a teenager. What do I mean by that? Well, the eyes of a child will see their dad as a superhero. They can do no wrong. Possibly the eyes of a teenager will say, they're super embarrassing. You go from being a man of steel to being a man of relaxed muscles. A man of being able to do no wrong to a man that gets it wrong all the time. From being all-knowing to you don't know anything. Being absolutely gutted and shattered when you leave to even just go to the bathroom, to being absolutely ecstatic when you get time to yourself. So whether you're a dad, whether you're not a dad, I want to ask each and every single person in this room today a question. So my question for everyone in this room today, regardless of what type of dad you've had, whether you've had this super dad kind of dad, an okay super dad, a not so okay super dad, I want to let every single person in this room know that each and every one of us has access to a super daddy. And who is that super daddy? Well, we were actually singing about him this morning. He's a good, good father. He's loved by you. It's our Heavenly Father, God our Father. And did you know another word for God our Father is Abba Father? I think Phil may have spoken on this last week. Is that correct? A little bit. I was in Gromit, so it's not that I don't listen to Phil when he's speaking. I certainly do, if I was actually in the room, but I wasn't. Abba Father. And Abba Father, you may have heard the word Abba. It's not a Swedish rock band. Abba Father actually translates to Daddy Father. He is our daddy. So he's many things, and we can see him. We can look to him as our super daddy, our daddy father. So I want to ask you this morning, who's your daddy? Do you know who your daddy is? And I can tell you that your super daddy will never let you down. You know, when a father for the first time, I would imagine Mulyadi or Jeff, when you held that newborn baby in your arms for the first time, you would have had an outpouring of love gushing over them. You just would have thought that they were the bee's knees. And that is how our daddy father sees you. That is how your daddy father, our daddy father, sees me. He loves us. He gushes over us. And for some of us, we get that. It's kind of an easy concept to understand and comprehend. For others of us, for whatever reason, we find this concept not such an easy one to comprehend. And I know for me personally, that's probably been my experience, and it may have been because of the relationship that I had with my own dad. I just couldn't really totally comprehend that kind of love. It didn't come easy to me. And so what are the ways that we can get to that place where we understand we get this super daddy, we understand who our daddy is? Well, one of the things that I think is important, and one of the things that I think will help us to really understand who's our daddy, is to understand the character of God. You know, you can't know who's your daddy if you don't know who's your daddy. I know you've come here for deep theological teaching this morning, haven't you? I know, but it's true. You're not going to know your daddy if you don't know your daddy. Do you know, I can say I know Phil, but I really do know him. And the reason I know Phil is because I spend time with him. I take the time to hang out, to do things together, and I also spend time to have quality conversation. So I know Phil, and I know him. I know his character. So if anyone was to say anything to me about Phil, I'd be able to go, do you know what you've said about him lines up with his character because I know him, so what you're saying is correct. Or someone else may say something about him, and I'll stop and think, actually, I know Phil, I know his character, and what you're saying doesn't actually line up with him because I know him. Now, the same can be said. Now, please, no booing from the crowd when I say this because I couldn't think of another example. So just go with me on this. Go with me. I know Kim Kardashian, but I don't know her because I don't spend time with her and I don't hang out with her. So if anyone was to ask me about her character, I couldn't put my hand on heart and say, yes, that's absolutely accurate about her, because I haven't got that connection with her. I don't know her. And it's the same with our relationship with God. You might be in this room this morning and you might know God, but do you know him? Do you know his character? Do you know who he is and who you have the authority and who you have the access to? Because when you know who's your daddy and you know his character, you know what we can step into. We know what we have access to. And you might have a relationship with God. You might say, yep, you know, Nat, I know God. I have a connection with him because of what Jesus did on the cross for me. So I know my dad. But we need to constantly remind ourselves of who God is. So let me, for example, give you some examples in the Bible of what the character of God is. And we'll have a couple of them on the screen. Now, don't be intimidated. I'm not going to read every single verse out. But just to show you, he is a loving, compassionate God. He is giving, faithful, merciful, strong, forgiving, good, righteous, caring, sovereign. But wait, there's more. He's our shepherd, ever-present, a refuge, gracious, healer, powerful, helper. And they're the characteristics, let alone the many, many promises of who God says he is and the promises that he gives us in his word that we can hold on to. But when we don't know God, when we don't know his character, when we don't remind ourselves, and sometimes we have to remind ourselves, we are not superheroes, we are not superhuman, and many times it's very easy to forget about who God is. So when you're going through a situation or a circumstance, instead of trying to do it in your own strength, instead of trying to take control of it and work it all out, sometimes we actually have to remember that God is interested in us, that God is our helper, that God is our refuge, that God is caring. So that we know who our God is, we know who we can turn to. We know what we have access to. And you might be sitting here this morning and you might say, do you know what, I've heard of this God. And you know, many people know God. In fact, he's referenced many times at American TV award shows. He's talked about a lot, but do you actually know him? And the good news that I have for anyone that's sitting in this room that has that kind of experience of just knowing and hearing about God, every single one of us in this room has access to that connection with God. And that access is through what Jesus did on the cross for us. In John 15:6 it says, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would know my Father as well. So each and everyone can have access to him. So we need to know the character of God. What else will help us to understand who our daddy is? One of the other things that's going to help us is to have a childlike faith. In Luke 18:17, it says, truly I tell you, if anyone does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child, he will never enter it. What does it mean to have a childlike faith? Now, without lifting off John Sutherland's amazing notes when he spoke at Choose Your Adventure, and you were amazing, John, I'm not lifting off them, but I was very inspired. So I'm going to also share some aspect of it. I hope you don't mind. But what having a childlike faith is not, it's not about having a three-year-old tantrum, throwing your toys out of the cot and spinning the dummy when you don't think God's done something for you or hasn't come through for you in any particular way. That's not what having a childlike faith is about. What it is about is going back to that video where you saw those kids talking about their dad, being in awe of their dads, being a superhero in their eyes, being in awe of what their dad was capable of. That's a childlike faith we need to have about our God. We need to, it's not about living in la-la land. It's not about living in ignorance. It's not about that at all. It's about being in a place of going, do you know what, God? I don't understand it all, but I don't have to understand it all. I don't know how you're going to work everything out, and I don't need to know how you're going to figure it all out. All I need to do is trust that you're going to come through for me, and he will. When it comes to our measure of faith, let's make a decision to have the measure of faith through the eyes of a child, maybe rather than the eyes of a teenager or a grumpy old man. I'm kind of understanding the concept of grumpy old man, but change it to woman. But anyway, that's for another time. When we know who our daddy is, we know what we can expect from him. Now, when anyone, I'm sure, has watched some type of superhero movie in their lifetime, yes? I know I've watched many. And without a shadow of a doubt, pretty much in every superhero movie, there will be a crisis that happens. In fact, there might be multiple crises that will happen. And you wonder to yourself, how on earth is this superhero going to get through this situation? But I have to stop and go, but he's a superhero. He has superpowers. Of course he's going to see it through, because that's what I expect from him. He's going to make what seems absolutely impossible possible, because that's his job. He's a superhero. He has superpowers, and that's what I expect from him. But does the same ring true when we face a crisis in our life? Do we have that expectation that God's going to come through for us? And sometimes we do, and sometimes we don't. And this is where it's important to go back to that, knowing the character and having that childlike faith of knowing who our daddy is, so that when you face worry or anxiety in your life, do you know who's your daddy? When you need direction or confirmation in where you're going to in life, do you know who's your daddy? When you're facing a situation that absolutely seems impossible and you don't know how you're going to come through it, do you know who's your daddy? Do you know who's your daddy? Because when we truly know who our daddy is, he is not going to let us down. We were singing it before. He's a good, good father. It's who he is, you know, and I'm loved by him, and he's not going to let us down. In the famous Australian iconic movie called The Castle. Has anyone seen The Castle? It's one of my favourite movies. If you haven't seen it, can I encourage you to make the effort to see it? If you don't understand the Australian culture, that movie will certainly help you understand it. Daryl Carrigan is a superhero and a super dad in the eyes of his family. He can do no wrong. There's a scene in the movie where Daryl feels discouraged and feels that he's let his family down because he's lost a court case to save their home, their castle. But his son Steve knows who his dad is. And in one of the scenes after he loses a court case, Steve says to his father, Daryl, Dad, I don't know what the opposite is of letting us down, but you've done the opposite. Even when things didn't seem to go the way that they had expected, it didn't mean that Daryl Carrigan had let his family down. And do you know what? It's the very same with our super daddy. Even when things don't turn out the way that we expect it, it doesn't mean that our super daddy, Father God, Abba Father, has let us down. So my question to you this morning is, what are your expectations of God? Are your expectations of God realistic or unrealistic? Now, as a child, for a child to expect that the parent is going to provide them with food, shelter and clothing, it would be fair to say that that is a realistic expectation. Am I right? Jade, you're not looking completely convinced this morning. Yes, we've got her on board. All right. But if the child expects that the parent's going to provide a mansion, 5-star dining and a designer wardrobe, I would probably suggest that that is an unrealistic expectation. Would you agree? Would you agree? Yes. Very good. Thank you. And I know that I've personally experienced this with my own dad. I probably had some unrealistic expectations on who he should be in my life. For me, I was probably looking for a dad that was going to want to sit down with me and have a big quality conversation about what I was up to in my life and really be interested in what I was doing and where I was going. I probably also would have loved a dad that would give me hugs every now and then and would tell me that he loved me. But that's not who my dad was. And my expectations of him, were they realistic? Yeah, they are realistic expectations. But was I going to expect that from my dad? And did my dad let me down by not showing me love? Do you know what? My dad didn't let me down. He did show me love, but it wasn't in the way that I expected. He showed me love through acts of service and gift giving. You know, if I needed something, I wouldn't even have to finish my sentence and he'd be at the door with a toolbox. This did not happen when I was practicing my message. Can I just tell you that much? He was there with a toolbox. Before I even finished my sentence, he would do anything for me and my sister if he could. Or financially, if he was able to, he would provide for us financially. That is how my dad showed his love to me. Did he let me down? No, he didn't. I probably had to readjust my expectations on him because he did love me. And for some of us, we might need to reset our expectations of our dad. We might need to reset our expectations of our mums or our friends. Some of us have unrealistic expectations, and it doesn't mean that they've let us down. It doesn't mean that they don't love us or don't care for us. They do. It might just not be in how we expect it. We need to have realistic expectations of ourselves and of our God. So what do I mean by that? Because we're talking about the character of God. So, you know, he's all-powerful, he can make the impossible possible, he's all-knowing, he can do no wrong. So I should be able to expect that when I pray that he will answer. And yes, that is a realistic expectation. But it's more about my expectations on how and when he's going to answer that may not be realistic or could be realistic. So what are some unrealistic expectations that we can have of God? Well, one expectation that can be unrealistic is that we have absolutely no expectation at all. And there could be many different reasons we have no expectation at all. And I know that I've fallen into that trap. I mean, I love God. I've got a connection with him. He's an important part of my world. But there have been times where I've gone through certain circumstances and situations that I've genuinely, for whatever reason, not thought about bringing him into the equation because I had no expectation of him. And I remember one time I had something going on in my world and I'd gotten myself into such a state of chaos and I was a roller coaster of emotions trying to deal with this particular situation and trying to resolve it and try to work it out. Pretty much all in my own strength and going very successfully nowhere. And one morning I woke up and realised that at not one point in time did I think to take it back to God. Not one point in time did I think that I should maybe include God in it. Now I know God, I do know him and I know his character and this goes back to sometimes we need to stop and remind ourselves and remember because we forget. We're not superhuman. We're not perfect. It doesn't mean that we don't love God, but we've got to go back to remembering who he is. He is a loving, caring God. He cares about every aspect of my life. And when I finally stopped and gave it to him, it made such a massive difference. The pressure, the anxiety lifted when I finally took myself to that place. Or maybe you have no expectations because you like to control your life. And you like to work it out for yourself. And we need to remember that we need to not have that type of no expectation on God. Alternatively, the other extreme, we can have an expectation on God, but our expectation is it's going to be answered the way, our way, not God's way. Come on, we've all done it. You've had a need, you've had something in your world, and in your mind, without you probably even thinking it, you've had an expectation on when the prayer was going to be answered and how the prayer was going to be answered. And don't we love it when we pray for something and God answers immediately? It's awesome, isn't it? We all go, praise God, God's so amazing, he answered my prayer, he's so good. But what happens when he doesn't answer the prayer straight away? Because sometimes he doesn't. And it's sometimes he doesn't answer it the way that we expect it. And how do we respond when it's that situation, you know? And sometimes we can kind of beat God up and be disappointed in him. But whoever said that the way we expected it to unfold was ever the right way? Who are we to say that we are God and we are the experts on the best thing for us? Like a parent, sometimes the parent says yes, sometimes the parent says no, sometimes the parent says wait. And it's because the parent knows best for the child, and God knows best for us. And so sometimes when it doesn't happen straight away or the way that we expect it, we can't have our first response to be disappointed in God. A good example of someone in the Bible that probably had some unrealistic expectations was Naaman, who we can find in 2 Kings verse chapter 5. Now, Naaman was a general in the army. He had everything, status, power, wealth, but he also had leprosy, which was an incurable disease. And basically, when you had leprosy, you were outcast from society, and because there was no cure. Naaman needed a miracle, and he'd heard that Elijah, who was a prophet of God, was able to heal him. So, of course, he went on his way to find Elijah, bearing gifts and expecting a healing. Now, was it realistic for Naaman to expect that healing? Absolutely. That was a realistic expectation. So what happened? He went to see Elijah. He knocked on the door expecting to see him. Instead, Elijah didn't see him, but instead sent a messenger to tell Naaman that he would be healed, but he had to go into the Jordan River 7 times. So Naaman knows that he's going to get the answer to prayer. He knows that he's going to get the healing. Now, I'm sitting there reading it going, well, I'd be pretty excited if that was the case. Is all I need to do to go into the Jordan and go in 7 times and then I'm healed? Woohoo! Fantastic. But that was not the case for Naaman. He was absolutely ticked off. And why was he ticked off? Because the prayer didn't, the miracle that he was expecting was not unfolding the way that he had planned and the timing that he had planned for it to happen. He expected, for starters, for Elijah to meet him. And Elijah didn't meet him, but a messenger did, a low-life messenger to an esteemed general. He also expected that Elijah would just simply wave his hands over him, pray, and he would be healed. And he was expecting that when that happened, that it would happen immediately. But instead, Naaman was required to go through a process before he had his healing. He had to go to the river and go in and out 7 times. God could have answered that prayer immediately, but it wasn't how God planned for Naaman's miracle to happen. You know, every single time Naaman complained about going into the river because the water wasn't good enough, and he was complaining because he had to go in 7 times. Why 7 times? Why can't I just go in 1 time? And my question to all of us this morning is, has there ever been a time when you've needed a miracle and it hasn't happened the way that you expected it because it wasn't in the timing that you wanted it to be? And some of us, in whatever situation we're going through, we need to go through a process. Why do we need to go through a process? I don't know. God might have a different reason for each and every person and for each and every circumstance. Maybe you need to go into the river, in and out of the river 7 times because God's trying to teach you to adjust an attitude. Maybe God's requiring you to address pride in your life. Maybe God's requiring you to go through a process where you need to build your trust in Him. Or maybe God's asking you to go in and out of the river because He's requiring you to build your courage and build strength and resilience. And there's a reason why you need to go into that river more than 1 time. And maybe there's a process that you need to go through. Maybe God is requiring to go into the river because the timing is not right. Other things need to come into place before you can see your miracle happen. Or other times, you need to go into that river because right now, He's trying to protect you and it's not safe for you to have your prayer answered. God's going to answer all of our needs in different ways and not necessarily how we expect He's going to answer it. And remember, whoever said that our way was the right way? And you know, it's very easy to say this. Many times when we're on the other side of our prayer being answered, we can kind of go, oh, you know what, I can see how that all happened. I can see why God put me through that. I can see now why I had to wait. It kind of all makes sense now. And for others on the other side, we're never going to actually know why God answered the prayer, why God made us wait as long as we had to. But you know what? God is God. He is a good Father and He has good things for us, and we just have to trust that He knows better than what we do. So what kind of expectation should we have? What is a realistic expectation we should have? Well, I think one of the realistic expectations we should have, which is summed up through the prayer of all super prayers, the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus told us to pray in this way: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So when we go in to talk to God about whatever we're going through, that our prayer should be, you know what, God? I know who you are. I know who's my daddy. I know who you are. I know I can come to your throne. I can come to you and speak about anything because I know who you are. And Lord Jesus, I know that your will be done. But it's not my will, it's your will. It's not my way, it's your way. And that's the way that we need to approach him. It's not to say that we don't give him the desires of our heart, we don't talk to him, we don't share what's going on in our world. But instead of having a preconceived idea on how it's all going to unfold, or having a preconceived idea of when things are going to happen, that we just release that. That we go back to that childlike faith that we were talking about of going, do you know what, God? I don't know how you're going to sort it out, but I know you're going to sort it out. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I know you're going to do it, because it's not my job to try to work it all out. So when you speak those words of your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, is releasing that to him. It's releasing the pressure on you to try to solve for it, on you to try to work it out, and giving it to him. It's not to say that you don't have to do things, that you're not going to have to, you know, take action here or there, but it's not trying to be in control. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We need to present ourselves to God. We need to give our desires to him, yes. But we need to go into God with a healthy expectation of your will be done. This is what I want. But God, your will be done. So change my attitude if I need to change it. Make it clear if it's a yes or no. But Lord, I'm giving it to you. I'm releasing me trying to sort it all out, me trying to be in control, me thinking I know better, and me from having expectations that might be unrealistic or realistic. So as you go through this week, I just want to encourage you, you know, we're all at different stages and different phases of our life, but, you know, I just pray that one of these things that I've shared about this morning might resonate with you. You know, maybe for you, you need to remember who your daddy is. You need to remember the character of God. You love him, you think he's amazing, but sometimes it's easy to forget who your daddy is. And so this week, I want you to, whether you're having a shower, washing the dishes, driving the car, to say to yourself, I know who my daddy is. I know who my daddy is, and I know the access that I can have to him. And some of us have to have more of a childlike faith. We need to not try to work it out and go, you know what, God, you've got this, and I'm in absolute awe of you. And I just want to encourage you, if you don't have that connection with God, if you know God but you don't know him, like I said before, we all can have that access to him because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. And if that's something that you want to explore, that we would love to chat with you more about that after the service this morning. So that's where it's at. Let's pray. Thank you, Father God. I thank you that you are a good, good Father. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you love us with an unconditional love. And when you look down on us, you are gushing with love towards us. You think that we are the bee's knees. You think that we are amazing. And Lord God, I just pray that each and every person will have a fresh realization of that this morning, that, you know, sometimes our rememberers can forget. And so, Lord, right now I pray that this will be a time where we'll just remember. And through the week that we go through, we will remember who you are. We will know you, Father God, we will know your character, that we will know, Father God, that we look to you with a childlike faith. And Father God, we release our expectations of what you will do and when you will do it and how you will do it. And Father God, we just this morning say, Lord, whatever we're going through, good, bad or indifferent, Lord, your will be done. Your will be done, Lord Jesus. Thank you so much. Thank you for each and every dad, each and every person that's in this room. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.